August 13th. I'm excited for this show. It's a good show. A lot of good stuff. Chris Carter, two more homers. Grade the trade. A little bit of name that player. Some Mike Minor stuff. A lot of home runs yesterday. Kyle Hendricks with another good start. And Alan Scott are here. So we've got everything going for us.
And yeah. We even have a text message of the day.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, go for it.
This is from Michael H. in Fort Lauderdale. you tell Adam Azer on the podcast this morning that Kyle Hendricks is a good pitcher and his ownership was higher than Jimmy Nelson's going into yesterday's start. Winky emoticon.
Is that directed at me or Scott? It was I wasn't
anti Kyle
Hendricks.
Adam, you tell that
well, we
Adam
both,
Azer.
We both said Nelson's better, and I still think Nelson's better.
I'm not dropping Jimmy Nelson for Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah.
Me neither, Michael H.
Yeah.
so Herc's, at least as far as that comparison goes, Herc's on his own. But I do have to admit, Kyle Hendricks is a lot better than I thought he was. And I saw some of him pitch yesterday. There's a lot of movement on his pitches.
Oh, that slider.
Yeah.
Gorgeous slider.
He's a non-strikeout pitcher. I think that's safe to say. And non-strikeout pitcher, there's always a limit to what they can do for you. But he's at least as good as like a Mike Leake in fantasy probably. And at this point in the season, that's somebody who I'm sure is owned in 3/4 of leagues. I could look that up, but...
Leak?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably around that. And Hendricks is owned in 60% of leagues. He's a sinker baller, but he throws a changeup. He throws a really good slider. Not a hard thrower, but I looked up, if he stays on pitching every 5 games, it's a dangerous game to play. But his next 5 starts after this week, because Hendricks is a 2-star pitcher this week, would be Baltimore at home, Cincinnati on the road, Milwaukee at home, who he just dominated, Pittsburgh at home, and Pittsburgh on the road. It's not the best schedule.
But he's had a pretty tough schedule recently.
Yeah. He went at Colorado, right?
Yeah.
Pitched well there.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing going for him is he goes 7 innings or more basically every time out, and... That is rare for somebody just getting called up to the big leagues. 7 1/3 last night, 8 the start before, 7 the start before, 6 1/3, 7. So certainly in points leagues, that boosts his stock as well.
Would you drop Justin Verlander, who has shoulder inflammation and likely to miss at least 1 start? They're not sure about the DL. They're talking like he's not going to need it. I think, you know, we're at this point where teams say that a lot. And, you know, we can't necessarily take them at their word. Would you drop Verlander for Hendricks?
No, I wouldn't.
I'm thinking about it.
Why not? I can't really make a case for Verlander. I'm benching him.
I guess it's a very different thing, but I am benching him for Hendricks in a league.
Well, here's the thing. If your bench was like Verlander and Minor, Maybe C.J. Wilson.
Sorry. You're not having a very good year.
Well, if that's your bench, I presumably have better pitchers than that as well. And you just need a usable arm in a desperate way. Like, I could see doing it then. But like I said, a non-strikeout pitcher, there's limits to things he can do for you. Kyle Hendricks isn't going to put your team over the top. He might provide something steadier than what you already have, but he's not going to be the reason you win.
But would you drop Justin Verlander for Henderson Alvarez, hypothetically?
No.
You wouldn't?
No, I wouldn't. And I lowered him a lot, but he's still in my top 50, I think, Verlander.
Yeah. And I'm just comparing Alvarez to Hendricks. Al, would you drop... all right, so you said you'd sit...
I have been sitting Verlander for Hendricks, and that's not just a 2-start thing. Drop Verlander to get him? Yeah, I don't think I would.
Well, I think if you need to win now, I don't think you... I think it's very reasonable. We don't know when Verlander's coming back. But okay, you've said your piece.
Clarification, Verlander's 52nd for me. 3 spots ahead of Henderson Alvarez.
Interesting. All right, Manny Machado has a ligament sprain in his knee. He could go on the DL. And J.J. Hardy could go on the DL with a sprained thumb. Wait and see what the Orioles do. George Springer suffered a setback in his recovery from a quad injury. He's going to be shut down for 2 weeks, so he's out for a while. At least 2 weeks. We'll see what happens after that. And Jason Worth is having his shoulder checked out. Now, they say he should be okay and not need the DL, but You never know. And should we pick up Michael Taylor, who went 2-for-4 with a home run at the Mets yesterday in his major league debut, Washington outfielder, who would figure to see time if Worth is hurt?
I've got this very dilemma in a deeper league, and I'm going to bid aggressively on Taylor. But if we're talking about a 12-team league, I think maybe like our 14-team categories league, I'd probably make that play.
Yeah.
But in 12-team standard leagues, I wouldn't, because Taylor hasn't played much above double A. He really just, this was his breakout year in terms of power.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I feel like I could really rely on him for is steals. He strikes out a lot too.
Yeah, but and I get what you're saying, but the numbers at double A before he got those 13 at bats at triple A or whatever it was, were like George Springer numbers. They were huge.
Yeah, no, it was great, but it was a breakout as opposed to sustaining something he'd done before.
Yeah, I understand. He didn't do it as long as Springer did. He didn't do it as the highest level like Springer did. But at the same time, if he's playing every day, I mean, we saw him hit an opposite field home run yesterday. He looked pretty good, and that's a lot of upside to leave on the table if he is getting every day at bats. But presumably he's not going to. Presumably this is just a day-to-day injury for Worth, and there's no room for him to play if the National starting outfield is healthy. There's not somebody he can overtake there. So I'm kind of with you as far as not picking him up right now goes in a standard mixed league. Just I wish there was more of an opening for him.
So if you could pick right now for a stash, maybe you didn't necessarily need someone to play immediately, Michael Taylor or Raimer Liriano?
Oh, Liriano. For that purpose.
If it was just to stash him, I would actually say Taylor. I think the upside's higher with Taylor.
Let's talk about some call-ups and debuts. And a reminder, we do not have a video show today. We're back tomorrow at noon Eastern. We have a fantasy football, PPR mock draft review today. But we'll be back tomorrow and Friday to help you set your lineup for next week and go over the roster trends and all that. And that's about it. Email us fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We'll do some grade the trade later. The Angels called up Brennan Bosch, who was crushing it at AAA with an OPS over 1,000. He DH'd, he went 0-for-2, and then he was replaced by Colin Cowgill midway through the game. The Arizona and Cleveland game was rained out yesterday, so they're playing a doubleheader today. And Andrew Chafin will make his major league debut for the Diamondbacks. Meanwhile, Detroit at Pittsburgh tonight, or today, I'm not sure what time that game is, Buck Farmer will make his major league debut for the Tigers.
You know, you just mentioned four players in that brief little segment, and two of them reminded me of Blue Oyster Cult.
I wouldn't know why.
Well, Colin Cowgill.
Cowbell?
Right, more okay. Cowbell. And the guitarist for Blue Oyster Cult is Buck Dharma.
Oh.
Which sounds suspiciously like Buck Farmer.
By the way, yeah, Buck Farmers might be officially the best name in baseball when he gets called up.
Is it Farmer or Farmers?
Farmer.
He's only one Farmer.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Buck Farmer.
It's a tremendous name.
You got to be careful how you say it.
Yeah, you do. That's not going on Dane Perry's list of switch the first letter names.
No, it's absolutely not. But if you do say it carefully and just, I'm going to go visit the Buck Farmer. Pick somebody up for my dough.
And it's too bad we aren't doing a video show today, because it'd be perfect for Down on the Farm.
Oh, and today's Wednesday and everything.
Yeah.
So Bosch, Chafin, Farmer.
I actually think Farmer's the most interesting.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, he really is. He's pitched two games above low level A ball. But, you know, before, and it's funny because somebody, I tweeted that out yesterday, and somebody replied, oh, so start every Pirate today, right? Well, today. Today was tomorrow yesterday.
Yeah.
And, I referred him to John Sickles of Minor League Ball, his review of Farmer. And, you know, he says he's really polished, and it kind of just reminds me of Mike Leake, who didn't, you know, pitch in the minors at all. You know, he's a collegiate pitcher. So just because he hasn't pitched at all, really, barely at all, in the upper minors, doesn't necessarily mean he's going to bomb today.
Okay, and so maybe keep him on your radar. And Robbie Ray didn't do much to help his cause for the Tigers. He struggled yesterday. Quote of the day is from Mike Minor. Quote, I changed some things mechanically with some of my grips. I thought my stuff was moving better. It was encouraging. Minor 71% owned. He gave up 3 runs on 8 hits in 6 2/3 against the Dodgers with 1 walk and 7 strikeouts. And he had an ERA over 7 with 12 home runs allowed in his previous 10 starts. This was not a great start by any means, but encouraging for Minor.
Yeah.
Is it encouraging for you guys? And again, Minor 71% owned. This obviously is a must-own guy when he's right. Must start, too.
It was encouraging for me, and I know the line doesn't blow you away, but it is certainly an improvement, like you said. I watched a lot of this game, too. There were a lot of cheapo hits, a lot of bloop hits that were just out of the reach of the second baseman, or at least two that I can think of, two of the 7 or 8. And the inning, he gave up 3 earned runs. He gave up 2 in 1 inning. I watched that whole inning. There was 1 hard-hit ball the whole inning, and he gave up 2 runs. So it's unfortunate that somebody who is desperately trying to climb out of the hole has such bad luck. But I think if you've been stashing him in fantasy, wanting to see just if this tourney took off made a difference, I think you should continue to stash him, because from what I saw, it did make a difference.
And look, Mike Minor, if he's out there, and so is Kyle Hendricks and Jeremy Hellickson and you know, other hot waiver wire pickups, is he at the top of the list? If Mike Minor's available in any of your leagues, and he's not available in any of mine, are you immediately picking him up ahead of all these other guys that we've been talking about?
Yeah, probably, just because of what you said, the upside, the must start ability if he gets back to form.
Yeah. All right, let's do some name that player. You guys ready?
Oh, another game?
Mm-hmm.
Do we get to buzz in? Are you running out of ideas?
No, just shout them out.
Is this the monotony of August?
No.
Look at these notes. This is a tome.
Yeah, I got 5 pages of notes. We're halfway through page one.
You're clearly committed to the game playing, and I'm not ready, but let's go anyway.
Okay, here we go. I am owned in 96% of leagues and started in 69% of leagues. I am batting .282 with 14 home runs, 56 RBI.
Could be Travis Wood.
57 runs scored and 20 steals. I am the number 18 outfielder in points leagues, number 14 outfielder in roto leagues. Again, .282, 14 homers, 20 steals.
Oh.
Last.
I think I have a, can I buzz in?
Yeah, I'll give you each one wrong guess.
All right, I'm buzzing in, and I'm saying Charlie Blackmon.
Correct!
Yeah!
Now.
Told you I wasn't ready.
Last 75 games. That's a lot of games.
It is a lot of games.
.251 with 5 homers and 12 steals and only 23 runs scored. That makes me the number 53 outfielder in points leagues and number 57 in roto over the last 3 months. So, is Charlie Blackmon droppable?
You know what? I know I have advised people who have asked about it. I'm pretty sure it was a really shallow league, like an 8 or 10 team format. So I would think so there. I wouldn't say so in a 12 teamer.
Yeah. Like, is it totally a radical idea to drop him? No, but I think there's enough reason to hold on to him. Al pointed it out on Fantasy Baseball Today the other day. The home-away splits are about as extreme as I've ever seen for a player.
Yeah.
.332 with a .922 OPS at home, .227 with a .571 OPS at home. I don't know how it breaks down over that 75-game stretch.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about, but it's hard to calculate that.
He's had some good stretches during that stretch, and I would think he's worth holding on. If you're going to be selective about when you use him.
Well, next week he's got nothing but home games, but only 5. And then a week of road games, and then 6 home games. It looks like he's going to alternate home and road for the rest of the year. All right, I just want to bring that up about Charlie Blackmon. Points league, 3 outfielders, Blackmon or Rajay Davis?
Blackmon.
I'll go Charlie Blackmon also.
How about rest of season, Blackmon or Corey Dickerson?
Oh, Corey Dickerson.
Dickerson.
Been going that route since like February.
Right now.
I just
took a quick look at Blackmon's month-by-month splits, because part of the reason that I don't think he's droppable, especially in points leagues, is because he's been a really good contact hitter. He's actually been striking out a lot the last month and a half. But he can turn that around.
Okay. Scott, did you want to give an answer?
I was hesitating on the Dickerson thing because Blackman's... I'll go Dickerson. Blackman's at-bats are safer, I feel like.
Yeah. All right, well, next category here. Let's talk about some home run hitters. It's called My Baloney Has a First Name. It's H-O-M-E-R. Classic Simpsons moments. Baloney's second name was also H-O-M-E-R, for the record, in that episode. All right, we'll start with Corey Dickerson. 87% owned, 79% started. Home run in three straight games. He has a 912 OPS since the All-Star break. Half of Dickerson's home runs, 16 on the year, have come on the road.
Carter?
Dickerson. Skipped Carter.
Oh, sorry.
826 OPS against left-handed pitchers, so he's looks like a pretty complete player this year. And is he just, you know, really, really good, must start going forward? Where do you guys have him ranked? Well, why don't you answer my question? I'll tell you where you have him ranked.
Okay.
40th for Scott, 31st for Al, 40th for Herc. That's in Roto. And in points, 41st for Scott, 28th for Al, 40th for Herc. All right, you like him a lot.
Top I do.
30.
Almost. Maybe I'll put him in.
Well, you did him 28th in points.
28th in points. Okay.
And you have him 31st.
That's us through the Roto ranking.
Yeah.
So, yes. Absolutely. Like the power that holds up away from Coors.
What did you say the question was?
Must start?
Yeah.
He's the one who sits against lefties more often than Blackman does. So, I don't know that I could call him must start just because of that. But basically, any time they're facing a bunch of righties, he's my start in the outfield for the weekly start-sit hitters column. So that's pretty close.
And as much as I like him, and I own him in a bunch of leagues, even in the 12-team ones, I know that there have been maybe like 2 weeks this year where I have sat him. So technically not a must-start.
I mean, he's hitting .321. He's having an awesome year. Is he this good of a hitter?
Not quite for average, but I don't think he's ever going to hurt you for average. And I think he is at least this good of a hitter for power.
Chris Carter hit two more home runs.
There he is.
27 years old, and what a year.
What a year.
28 home runs on the year, still not even a top 12 first baseman in either format. Number 19 in points, number 13 in Roto. But obviously, recently he's much higher, and he's on fire right now. Last 31 games for Chris Carter, .328 with 15 homers. 11 walks, 35 strikeouts. Your thoughts on Chris Carter? We'll talk about him every day until he stops homering.
And that might be a good way to sum it up there. I'm still not willing to say he's like a changed player or anything. Just he's really hot, and he's going to get this hot sometimes, and he's absolutely worth starting when he does get this hot. He said that he thinks he can be this kind of player year-round. I think that's probably just
confidence talking.
Yeah, if he's not going to say that, who will?
Exactly. But I do want to mention Dickerson in that starter sit hitters column was my number one sleeper for this week. Carter was my number three. Off to a good start here. Danny Santana is number two.
Yeah, he's all right. He's doing fine.
He's doing fine. Good start.
Be upset about.
Good start.
All right, Bryce Harper homered. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
One thing on Carter, because I've had this sneaking feeling that every time I look in the box score, it seems like he's beating up on subpar pitching.
Oh, like Johan Pino?
Like that, yeah. So he's got 7 home runs already this month, 2 against Pino, 2 against Sean O'Sullivan, 1 against flyball pitcher Tommy Malone, 1 against Miles Michaelis, and 1 against R.A. Dickey. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought about looking that up, too. And then I thought, I bet a lot of hitters pad their home run stats against bad pitchers. But that's fine. They're going to face a lot of bad pitchers. Is he facing an inordinate amount of bad starting pitchers?
Well, I mean,
he's in the same division as the Rangers, right?
Yeah.
Yep. But I mean, this is like this hot streak is really, you know, if it's not for this, we're not even talking about him.
Right.
And during the streak, he has, I think.
Okay. Bryce Harper, homered. Last 6 games, 7-for-24, not crushing or anything, but 2 home runs, 4 runs, 4 RBI, 3 walks, 9 strikeouts. That's in 6 games. Josh Donaldson, higher K rate this year than last year, lower walk rate, lower line drive rate, But the home run to fly ball rate went from 10.4% last year to 15.2% this year. And Donaldson now has 25 home runs after homering 24 times last year. Do you make anything out of that? Lower, much lower batting average, 46 points lower, more power, a lot higher homer to fly ball ratio.
I'm not totally sure what to make of this extended midseason slump that he seems to be climbing out of now here recently. I'm sure it's partially responsible for the differences in strikeout and walk rate, because the batting average just tanked. Usually means you're striking out more. I kind of feel like he's closer to who he was last year, trading off some of that power for batting average, than who he's been this year. But either way, you're talking about a top five third baseman.
Yep. Well, he's number one now in fantasy at third base.
That's surprising.
Yeah. I mean, I think the last time I checked, he was number two or three, so he probably jumped Cabrera and Frazier in points and Rota respectively yesterday with those two homers. And Oswaldo Arcia homered twice, drove in three runs at Houston. Arcia, very respectable numbers against right-handed pitchers. 248 batting average, 324 on base, 478 slugging with eight of his 10 home runs. And then against lefties, his OPS is going to be about 570, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Good math there.
So that is right, isn't it?
That's right on the nose.
18% owned. So I guess daily leagues against the righty, decent option.
sounds good to me.
Okay.
And
what
not,
else?
Not bad for somebody who I thought actually was going to be on the DL by now.
Yeah, I know, right? What else stood out to you guys yesterday?
Yeah, several pitching performances. Matt Latos was good, and I haven't really.
Oh, crap. Did he pitch?
He did.
Oh, I missed that game. Okay, I have to go do that game and add it to the notes.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to do something here for two purposes.
How did I miss that game?
I'm going to, because I meant to look up the velocity on Brooks Baseball, because the up until sort of the
Latos? Yeah, I looked it up. Are. It's the same as it's always been.
Okay. Well, this year you mean, right?
Which this year.
Which
this
is down.
There, it hasn't gone up any.
So he's been better, even though you know, he's not throwing harder. So maybe he's – I guess this is all just a way of saying that I've dismissed him because the velocity's been down. But, you know, maybe he's just finding a way to succeed in spite of that. And I was going to say, and I'm bringing this up for two purposes, because also it's just an excuse for me to talk about Brooks Baseball. Very, very cool thing I saw this morning retweeted by Peter Gammons on how Burke Badenhop uses Brooks Baseball to prepare for, like, to you know, fix his pitches and prepare for his upcoming appearances. Really cool stuff. Check it out. It's I think it was in the Providence Journal.
All right, Joe Kelly had a good start too. Noted. Scott, your turn to nominate a player.
Well, I kind of wanted to follow up on Latos, if that's okay.
It is.
Because he has been finding a way to get it done with a reduced strikeout rate. The hit rate is still really low for him. And that's usually not, those usually don't go together. Usually a low strikeout rate means a high hit rate. High strikeout rate means a low hit rate. Walks and home runs get involved there to affect ERA and whip, but that's usually a correlation. So it's kind of weird that they're both down at the same time. And I'm a little skeptical of it. He is giving up more fly balls this year than in the past. And fly balls have a lower batting average than ground balls, assuming they're staying in the park. So maybe that has something to do with it. But I would worry that the home runs could increase going forward.
With Latos?
With Latos,
well, I mean, are you guys upset with his strikeout totals? 6, 5, 5, and 5 over his last four starts in 6, 7, 7 2/3, and 7.
It's Doug Fister-like. That's not Matt Latos-like.
Speaking of which, Fister has been getting more strikeouts lately.
Well, look, Fister is a top 10 starting pitcher.
Oh, I'm not
knocking
Fister.
It's a separate discussion. So I don't know. I feel like sometimes we obsess over strikeouts, but sometimes guys don't need it. Now, you're saying lack of strikeouts plus more fly balls, especially for a guy who pitches in Cincinnati. Bad combination.
And Scott really raised the key thing here because, the fly ball rate is up, and he's so therefore he is getting the lower BABIP, higher pop-up rate. He's getting all the good parts of being more of a fly ball pitcher. And, he's given up 4 home runs all season, and that's, pretty dubious that can last.
Now, that said, if I owned Latos, I'd just start him. I wouldn't. I'd wait for something bad to happen before I benched him, but I'm not totally trusting him.
Well, that could happen this weekend.
That's all I'm saying.
Doesn't he go to Colorado?
Yeah, it's Colorado. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. It's a daily league.
All right, then. Jake Petrichka, 4 hits, 2 runs, and 2/3 of an inning, 3rd blown save. And he had only allowed 1 earned run and 1 walk over his previous 10 appearances. So, excuse me, are you worried about Petrichka losing his job as the White Sox closer and angering every Chris Sale owner?
Sure, I am, especially now that Lindstrom is back. I don't know. I mean, it's, in an AL-only league, I traded for Lindstrom from Scott. But I really view that as a desperation move and not a complete vote of confidence that Lindstrom gets his job back.
And let's just go through the starting pitchers that are going to be available for fantasy owners on waivers. And you tell me who can make a difference here, who you'd be picking up. And I'll put C.J. Wilson in there. He's 82% owned. And I'll put Mike Minor in there. He's 71% owned. Chris Young, Dan Haren. Now, Chris Young, 2-star pitcher this week, Al, this current week?
This week, yeah.
Are they going? They're 4-man right now?
Yeah, for the time being, they sent Elias down.
So he'll be at Boston next week, Chris Young. Dan Haren, 2 good starts in a row. Colin McHugh. I know Scott likes him.
I do.
Kyle Hendricks, who we talked about. Ryan Vogelsong, who has 2 starts next week. They're both on the road, where he has a 4.37 ERA compared to 3.22 at home, but his last 2 road starts have been good. Edinson Volquez and Jeremy Hellickson, who's now spun 2 good ones, very good ones, in a row.
That's one of my favorite pitching verbs.
Spun?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. So again, we got C.J. Wilson, Mike Minor, Chris Young, Dan Haren, Colin McHugh, Kyle Hendricks, Ryan Vogelsong, Edinson Volquez, Jeremy Hellickson, and Joe Kelly. Not in these notes.
Hmm.
Okay.
So what's the task here?
Yeah, what is the task? I like Mike
Find
Minor
me
the best.
Some guys that you'd be looking to pick up right now if they were available in your leagues.
Well, Mike Minor's the easy one.
Yes.
I would say Colin McHugh is definitely to that point. Kyle Hendricks is behind him, but I would be looking to pick him up if I had space. C.J. Wilson, it wasn't a great start, but it was definitely a step in the right direction, and we know how good he can be. Those are probably the only 4 that I would pick up in just a non-matchups scenario. Chris Young's my favorite of the rest, but I picked him up for the 2-star week in our podcast league, our points league this week, and I would be okay with dropping him for another 2-start option next week.
Well, Vogelsong is an interesting 2-start option. Both games on the road at the Cubs and at Washington. And obviously, if you're starting him, you're trusting him in crunch time next week. I was going to drop Justin Verlander for him, but he was already owned. The 2-star pitchers next week, there are not a lot of them. You're not going to be getting good 2-star pitchers unless the list just hasn't populated yet.
It's not totally populated, but what you're seeing right now should be pretty close to what's final.
There are not a lot out there for next week. Yeah. I guess there aren't as many games.
Oh, yeah, there's 8 games both on Monday and Thursday next week.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so it's a light schedule next week. Vogelsong might be one of your best options. And I actually was going to pick him up, not even to use him, but just to block someone from using him against me because I don't have that much confidence in 2 Vogelsong starts. What do you think about him next week?
Yeah, I like that tactic, actually. I don't know. Then again, maybe be okay with somebody using him against me because I'm not sure I have that much confidence in him. But I wouldn't most likely start Vogelsong next week.
Get a jump on the 2-star guys because if you wait till later in the week, you're going to be out of options. All right, let's go move a little bit faster here. Email of the day number 1 is from Charlie. Hey, guys, I listen to the podcast every day, and I'm 13.
Yeah.
I've been listening for around 1.5 years. I started listening after reading Fantasyland. Nando is the best, and I haven't stopped since. Are you serious, man? That's awesome, Charlie. Good for you. And I'm sorry about the Buck Farmer joke that I made earlier. Email of the day number two is from Crap from Belvedere, Illinois.
Worst, are you sorry about that, too?
Worst nickname ever, but it's stuck. Crap is short for Chris Rapp, which is me, LOL.
Wow.
All right, we got a league dispute, people.
Maybe he should be a K-Ris.
Yeah, that'd be better for him. I'm the commissioner of a points-based 13-team league, and first through four finish in the money. It's a tight race all the way down to seventh. The owner in third place at the time set an illegal lineup Monday, and as rules in the league state, that scores 0 points for the week. I tried calling him and texting him at 11:45 before the first pitch, and he didn't answer until an hour after first pitch. He called and was wondering why his lineup was not generating points. So I explained to him the situation, and he was obviously not pleased because it's been like that for weeks. So after I investigated the issue, I realized that since week 16, he was one over his roster limit. And the reason the system didn't penalize him is because I didn't have it set up so it automatically scores him 0 points. All right, so just to summarize here, he's had an illegal lineup for 3 weeks now and didn't get penalized because the commissioner didn't set it up properly. Commissioner finally realized it, and he's getting a zero for this current week, this guy. Was he the third-place team? Yeah. So, in reality, it's my fault as commissioner. But now I'm faced with 12 other owners wanting a ruling, and some guys want him to be suspended for a week. Others say it's too harsh of a ruling to take away points for a whole week, so I came up with these three options. A, suspend him for the week. B, fine him his weekly winnings that he was earned. C, find a way to activate his roster but make him bench a starting pitcher and a starting bat. I want my league to be fair and follow the rules, but not the point of run someone out of the league for following years. What would you guys do in this situation?
Well, okay.
C sounds reasonable to me.
I just think you make him drop a player and have him set his lineup. I wouldn't do anything.
Well, issue is that it's been illegal for weeks. Yeah. More than, look, if just generally speaking, I think you set, as a commissioner, you set it up so that an illegal lineup scores 0 points, but that's more to alert both you and the user that the lineup's illegal than to really make somebody take a zero in a week, because from the opponent's perspective, nobody should get a free win. It's less about the guy getting a loss, an automatic loss, than giving someone else in the league an automatic win. You don't want that. Mm-hmm. But since you didn't set it up that way, your fault, nobody was alerted all these weeks. Was the guy trying to get away with something? Probably not, but he could have been, and you do need some way to police that. So I feel like any of these three is possible. I wouldn't be entirely opposed to suspending him for the week.
Why?
To make up for the past weeks. I think C's probably the best option, but I'm saying because it's been illegal for a long time.
But again, he didn't know it was illegal. It's really not his fault. It's the commissioner's.
Well, he can say he didn't know it was illegal.
If you take him at his word and you believe that he didn't know it was illegal, then I don't think you penalize the guy for that. I think it's just one of those, like, what are you going to do? I don't know. To me, it's like, what can you do? It sucks. Make him drop a player. C is the least drastic option, so that's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I think C is really the only reasonable option here. I think the to suspend him or fine him his winnings just seems too harsh given the situation.
Well, what if you went back to week 16, and I understand I'm adding options here. You went back to week 16, saw the player that put him over the limit, and just make him drop that player. Whoever it is, make him drop him.
That sounds pretty fair,
maybe,
too.
Maybe it's somebody really good, but that's...
I mean, how do you determine who puts him over the limit?
How do you determine which player that is?
Because I would think it would be.
Well, you can go and look in the transactions log and see if he picked up somebody. You can if it wasn't that, maybe it was somebody coming off the DL. You can figure it out. It'll take a little work, but you can figure it out.
And then what do you do with that player?
So drop him. He has to drop.
He drops him, but does he lose all the points he accumulated with that player if he started him in week 16, 17, or 18?
No.
Okay.
He just drops.
That seems very fair.
Yeah. Okay.
More than fair, really.
Tweet of the day number one is from Sean. Is Tanner Roark on an innings limit? I'm targeting him in a quality starts league.
Not that I've seen or read. And But, you know, given the Nationals' history with this, it wouldn't surprise me. But I think he can, you know, probably make it to 190 without being subjected to that. So it's something that might affect him, you know, the latter half of September.
Injuries, news, and notes, part one. Homer Bailey having his Wednesday start pushed back to Saturday due to elbow stiffness. Dexter Fowler will be back today. Jed Lowry has a fractured finger, but he'll try to play through it. Email from Doug in Santa Monica. Dear Flo, Mayhem, and the Lizard. That's good. I like that.
Oh, those are mascots for car insurance.
Yeah. What should I expect from Jed Lowry and his broken finger? I'm in a 10-team, 34-player roster points league. Should I drop Lowry for the likes of Jeter, Alcantara, or Chris Taylor?
I would drop him for Alcantara just to make the move.
Yep.
Do it.
But not the other two.
Cleveland outfielder David Murphy will be out 4 to 5 weeks with an oblique strain. Nick Swisher likely out a while. He might need knee surgery. Yesterday, Michael Bourne started a rehab assignment. I don't know if it was yesterday, but he could be back this weekend. Yesterday, they had Michael Brantley, Chris Dickerson, and Tyler Holt in the outfield with Zach Walters at DH. Anything fantasy relevant for the Indians?
Well, I think that these injuries are good for Walters and Dickerson, and of the two, I think Walters is a little bit more intriguing.
Shortstop eligible,
yep. And Dickerson, you know, for deeper leagues, could be a stolen base source.
Everett Cabrera is on the DL with a hamstring strain. Gerrit Cole likely back after one more rehab start. Neil Walker was out again, but Clint Hurdle said he's making progress. D. Gordon sat. Don Mattingly said he's trying to avoid wearing D. Gordon down.
It was also a lefty pitching, right? Trying to remember.
Minor. Yeah. Good call. Steve Cishek got the night off. Brian Morris started the ninth, gave up a hit and a walk. Then Mike Dunn, the lefty, came in and got Matt Adams out for the final out in his first save.
Now, I thought this was kind of interesting just because Cishek, he has been used a lot, so that's why he was out. But if he does continue to struggle, it was Ramos in the eighth, Morris in the ninth.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at those two as, you know, speculative replacements for Cishek, Morris would seem to be the guy.
Far out of the Marlins now in that NL wild card.
Well,
3.5 games.
Yeah,
with another game against the Cardinals tonight.
Masterson, who's not been good.
Oh, they're gonna sweep them.
Yeah, good chances.
Sweep. I just did a broom motion.
Yeah, they're on the verge of passing the Braves.
Oh yeah, they sure are. They're a game back.
Yeah.
Wow. They got a lot. They got the Giants, the Braves, and the Reds in front of them. Jordan Schaefer, guys, he's got 21 steals and he's 3% owned, and now with the Willingham trade, maybe he gets more playing time for Minnesota. And if you need steals, what do you think?
I just can't do it.
Okay. Trevor May pitched
out of the
bullpen.
I'm sort of interested in Scott's take because Schaefer played for the Braves for a good while, but I'm not a fan.
No.
Trevor May pitched out of the bullpen yesterday for Minnesota and gave up 3 runs, 2 earned, and 2 1/3. Why did he pitch out of the bullpen? He's already out of the rotation?
Could be, because Ricky Nolasco is on the verge of coming back.
Friday, yeah. Starlin Castro hurt his knee. He should be fine. And how about the, look at this pun, Angels in the you're outfield. Mike Trout is 4 for 25. Albert Pujols is 5 for 26. And Josh Hamilton is 2 for 23. Thank you, Associated Press.
Pujols isn't an outfielder.
That's not what I meant. I just meant you're out.
All right, I know.
Come on now. Trout, Pujols, Hamilton slumping. Would you guys like to comment?
Doesn't do anything for me other than confirm every suspicion I've got about Josh Hamilton.
We're on to page 3 of the notes. Grade trade. Or grade the trade, as we've been calling it. Here is an email from Day from Hawaii.
Ah.
Hey, Shane, Colton, and Benny.
Hawaiians.
Oh.
Some of which are flying.
There you go.
Some of which are punching.
Grade the trade in a 12-team mixed dynasty league.
Oh, how is Herc not on?
I know.
On the podcast with
straight
a
talk.
Benny Agbayani reference. How does that not happen?
12-team dynasty league head-to-head categories. Give up Porcello, get Dozier, and Gallo. I'm always reaching my innings limit before Sunday, and I want to get some prospects for one of my arms. So give up Porcello for Dozier and Gallo.
That's a great deal. That's, I mean, just for Dozier, that's a A minus. I'll say.
And I'll.
Yeah, A minus.
Now we're talking, which, because there's Brian and there's Hunter, right?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, that's a good point. I was assuming Dozier.
Because Dynasty League.
Yeah, I mean, I was assuming Brian.
So I was assuming Hunter, and I don't like it that much. I don't know. I'm not that big on Porcello, so I'll give it a B minus.
Well, I mean, my grade completely changes if it's Hunter Dozier. I'm not that big on him. But
Porcello seems pretty replaceable in a 12-team mix.
Yeah.
And Gallo could be huge down the line. So there's that.
Great.
I'm going to assume it's Brian and say A minus.
We got a grade for any Dozier. Julian from Los Angeles, California. 10-team head-to-head points keeper league. I give up Adam Jones, Howie Kendrick, and Colin McHugh. And I get Carlos Gomez, Javier Baez, and Chris Archer.
Okay, so
give up
Gomez.
Give up Jones, get Gomez.
Mm-hmm.
Give up Kendrick, get Baez. Give up McHugh, get Archer.
It's very close. I'll give it a B minus just for the Kendrick Baez swap. I'd rather have Baez.
I'd rather have Archer than McHugh. I'll give it a solid B.
From Alex, I'm in second place in my head-to-head league. My weakness is home runs and RBI. I have strong starting pitching, so I got offered Tulowitzki and Roark for Wainwright. By the way, Wainwright struck out 4 batters yesterday.
Yeah.
2 of them were Jared Cozart, who, because of his back injury,
didn't swing.
Was not swinging. So, you give
that
up.
That did depress his whiff rate, those 2 at-bats, because he's not swinging.
Oh, because Wainwright for Tulo and Roark needs homers and RBI.
Also, by the way, Tulo is not healing as fast as they thought.
Surprise of the century, everybody.
Doesn't seem particularly close to returning.
I mean, I just did what I think most people call a sell low on Wainwright in a league this weekend. So at first I got sort of excited about it, but because of what Scott just said, I don't think I'd do it.
I think I'd still do it, but it'd be like a B minus trade.
Okay.
You know, I'll be Weasley here and just give an even C. I'm really torn.
From Mark. Hey, Matt, Nathan, and Jason. I give up Rendon, Montero. It's a categories league. I give up Rendon, Montero, Arrieta, and Calhoun. Give up Rendon, Montero, Arrieta, and Calhoun. I get Stanton, Jordan Zimmerman, Lou Croy, and Aaron Hill.
Are you kidding? Wow. That's an A minus.
I'll be the harsh grader this time and B plus.
I think I'm 2/3 of the way there. Matt Damon, Nathan Lane, so we're talking to Robin Williams co-stars, but who would Jason be?
That's a good call. I don't know.
I could just be totally wrong.
That would be really cool.
I've really got Robin Williams on the brain here. I got to say, this thing is really...
Oh, are you upset about that?
Very, very.
Who isn't?
Yeah.
Like, who didn't like Robin Williams?
He's the man. He was one of a kind.
Yeah.
All right, we did it on the football show yesterday, so I said Mrs. Doubtfire. Favorite Robin Williams movie?
Whew. I got a dark horse. I don't know that anybody in the world agrees with me, but I think Death to Smoochie is the best Robin Williams
Haven't even seen it.
They're rocket ships. that's a funny movie.
That's an underrated movie.
Yeah, very evil Robin Williams.
Yeah.
I think I got a good Goodwill Hunting, but man, top 5 is Bunchy.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And Dave and Jamie have made me aware that I'd really need to see Born on the 4th of July. Seen that one?
No, yeah. I haven't.
Great one?
Oh, great movie.
Not Born on the 4th of July. Good Morning Vietnam.
Okay, well, they're both, because I was going to say, I don't remember Robin Williams being, but they're both excellent.
Yeah, Good Morning Vietnam. Have you seen that one, Scott? Good Morning Vietnam?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Here's Dear Antonio. I don't have a name here. Dear Antonio, Lance, and Marcus. Hint, Steel City. Those would be Steelers wide receivers.
Ah.
Great the trade. 10-team head-to-head categories. I get I give Altuve and Cespedes. I get Rendon and Braun.
B minus.
I don't like it.
You wouldn't want Braun over Cespedes?
No.
I would.
Not in a categories league. I want the homers. Braun is like, eh. Braun's whatever. He's so whatever.
I'm sorry. I'm still trying to think of who Jason is. I missed the whole thing.
There's something called Funkademia that has Jason, Matt, and Nathan. That could be that. I don't know. But anyway, you're giving up Altuve and Cespedes. You're getting Rendon and Braun.
I would do the Rendon Braun side, but it's pretty close. That's the side you're getting, right?
Yeah.
So B minus.
From Mike. Hello, Bell, Kazmir, and Dunn.
Albert Bell.
Scott.
Kazmir.
Oh, Adam.
Adam.
Al, Scott, and Adam.
Oh, okay.
Nice. 12-team Roto League, I give.
Al's full name is Alan. Can I reveal that?
Oh,
it's not Albert. It's
been revealed.
Alan.
Oh, no.
How about that?
Oh, no.
All right, here's
too
the
bad
trade.
We have a Joey.
Roto League. Give D. Gordon, Miguel Cabrera, and Jacob deGrom. Get Jason Kipnis and Mike Trout. I'm leading in steals by 38.
Whoa!
And I just picked up James Paxton.
Okay.
So give up Gordon, Cabrera, and DeGrom. Get Kipnis and Trout.
Contextual extra credit makes this a B-plus trade.
Yep, that sounds right to me.
I'm going to make this trade with Scott White work.
I don't need steals. The D. Gordon one we brought up yesterday.
Yeah, you don't need steals?
Well, I need them more than this guy does, but I need home runs more than I need steals.
All right, fine. Here is, where are we? Matt in Wilmington. Dear MCA, Ad-Rock, and Mike D.
Beasties.
Ugh. Worst band ever.
You're wrong, but anyway.
12-team Roto League, 25-man roster, 12 keepers per year. Giving up Posey, Adam Jones, and Doug Fister, getting Norris, Morse, and Kershaw.
Well,
you give up Posey, Adam Jones, and Fister. You get Norris, Morse, and Kershaw.
I'm going to go C minus on it.
Yeah,
because the outfield swap.
Well, I mean, I'm not even really caring about Norris and Morse because they're just such afterthoughts compared to the other four players. I'm thinking of it as Posey, Jones, and Fister for Kershaw. And that might be a little too much to get the best player in the deal. Unless you're just overloaded with keepers or something.
So I
agree, C minus.
And I don't have time, Matt, to read your email, but he does want to know what's our favorite Parmesan. Chicken, veal, meatball, or eggplant?
Meatball.
I'm going to go...
You're wrong.
Chicken.
Yeah, you're right.
That was my runner-up.
Chicken, yeah. Chicken parm is one of my favorite dishes.
It is.
What would
quite
your last
delicious.
Meal be? You're dying tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
No, you're dying in an hour. What do you want to eat?
Probably barbecue pulled pork with all the appropriate sides.
Yeah, I was kind of going in that direction, too. I think I'll go with the barbecue brisket over the pork.
I am so torn. I think about this a lot, actually.
With the side of steak fries.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
And some baked beans.
Like, it would come down to three things. Like a filet mignon, pizza, Well, I'm thinking of it like I'm on death row and I haven't had a good meal in forever. If I could just have, like, a freaking pizza pie, oh, it'd be amazing. or like a bacon cheeseburger with grilled onions and mushrooms. Gosh. Well,
those are good.
I think I'm...
Those are good. But
I think I'm going to go with the filet. All right, two up. Brandon Moss.
So cliche, Adam.
I know.
Cliche
I know.
With your filet. filet.
Brandon Moss went 4-for-5 to break out of a 5-for-46 slump. Do you expect him to be must-start going forward?
Pretty close to it.
Carl Crawford, 29% owned, has 3 multi-hit games in a row. He's batting .317 in August, but only 1 extra base hit and 1 steal. Do you care about Carl Crawford?
Not at all. I mean, not as a fantasy player.
Would you rather own Jordan Schaefer or Carl Crawford?
Carl Crawford.
Yeah.
I don't think I would.
What?
You know with Schaefer, you're going to get one category of really goodness.
Unless you really needed that category. Yeah, and obviously, we're assuming Roto here. Mm-hmm. That's the only scenario.
Yeah, that's fair. Two-man rotation. Doug Fister and Adam Wainwright. Okay. Doug Fister, I don't know what to say about him. 3 earned runs in 28 and a third over his last four. He's got 2.34 ERA this year. He's got a 1.07 whip this year. Maybe this is an example of a guy really benefiting from going to the NL. But again, since making his debut on May 9th, number 9 in points, number 10 starting pitcher in Roto.
I know what to say here. I don't like to say it. You guys were right. I was wrong.
You got to move him up, buddy.
Got to move
him
up.
Put a circle or a check mark, whatever you do.
It's a circle.
Where are you going to move him up to? Top 5?
No.
Top 30?
Probably 40. So.
Well, he's already.
I don't think
he's 58th for you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's
so 40 for you is Tanaka. So 39 for you is Wheeler.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Probably a little higher.
You got Lackey ahead of Wheeler.
Oh.
I'm definitely going Fister over Lackey.
I just noticed I have 3 Nationals in a row in my starting pitchers rankings. Gio, Fister, Roark.
How about that?
In a row. No wonder they're running away with the division.
In a row or in an arc?
Oh.
Okay.
That's when you have twos, not threes.
All right, you'll move him up. You'll move him up.
Yeah, mid-30s, I think.
Adam Wainwright, top 5 starting pitcher?
No, I dropped him to, I think, 9th. Of course, you can check it.
Oh, Herc has 3 Nationals pitchers in a row, too. Except they're different pitchers in a different order. Fister, Gio, and Zimmerman. Third for Herc.
They're all the same.
top 5 starting pitcher, Adam Wainwright?
Yes,
no. I have a fourth.
Okay, yes. Yeah. All right, thank you, Grover.
Okay, fringy starting pitchers we did. So how about Odrisamer Despaigne using his fastball more? How about Jared Cozart with a good start?
Despaigne is my 125th starting pitcher.
Hanging on for dear life.
Would you rather have Despaigne or Cozart?
Cozart.
Despaigne.
The Yankees and the Orioles were rained out. They'll play a doubleheader next month. Kevin Kiermaier returned to the lineup. So did Tommy LaStella. He had a cramp yesterday. Andrelton Simmons didn't, but apparently getting closer. Alex Rios pinch hit. Coco Crisp sat with Sam Fuld in center field. Nolasco back Friday. 85 pitch count. Yonder Alonso left yesterday's game with a forearm strain. And Gene Segura and Scooter Gennett both playing, but are both dealing with quad injuries, and it seems more severe for Gennett than Segura. And we're done for the day, so thank you very much for listening. I am going to end the show now, awkwardly. Filet mignon.